XRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. President Obama's defending his administration's efforts to strengthen the economy. In his weekly radio and media chat, he acknowledges the pain felt by millions of people out of work and renews his pledge to bolster the economy for the long haul.
In the coming days, I'll be unveiling additional ideas aimed at accelerating job growth and hiring as we emerge from this economic storm. And so that we don't face another crisis like this again, I am determined to meet our responsibility to do what we know will strengthen our economy in the long run.
In the Republican media address earlier today, Carly Fiorina, a candidate for U.S. Senator from California, says the government could become too powerful if the current health care overhaul is legislated.
We wonder if we are heading down a path where the federal government will at first suggest and then mandate new standards for prevention and treatment.
Majority Leader Harry Reid is pushing for passage of a final bill before Christmas. Republicans plan to offer an amendment that would eliminate $42 billion in Medicare cuts. A former GOP senator is critical of President Obama's decision to begin a troop withdrawal from Afghanistan in July of 2011.
Name for me one time that a party engaged in a war announced when they were going to stop the war and won.
Rick Santorum believes setting a withdrawal date will only aid the enemy. Also at SRNNews.com, Russian authorities have arrested one of the owners of a nightclub where a fire killed more than 100 people last night. The club's managing director and three other people are also under arrest. The blaze is being blamed on fireworks. More from the BBC's Tom Esselmont in Russia.
The Russian government has set up a special commission to deal with the incident. This is the latest in a series of fire-related disasters to take place in Russia, a country with a notoriously bad fire safety record. Hundreds die every year in similar incidents.
Russia's president says those responsible for the early morning fire have neither brains nor conscience. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Nick Anderson, General Sales Manager of Business 1570, and I would like you and your business to join our loyal marketing partners here on our station. We'd like to help your business grow by bringing you prospective customers through radio campaigns, event marketing, internet, and print lead generation. Call me at 651-289-4408. And happy holidays from all of us at Business 1570.
I had fingerprints 9 weeks from conception.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. Every billboard features an 800 hotline connecting callers with the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, or post-abortion assistance. Our tender ads have proven to be life-saving.
I was 9 weeks along and was going to have an abortion. I didn't know what else to do, but then I saw the pro-life ad and called for help. I'm so glad that I did.
For some like this young mother, Pro-Life Across America's billboards and 800 hotline may be the only visible sign of hope and help. Thanks to our ad, she received the counseling and care she needed. Please help us do more. Send whatever you can to Pro-Life Across America. Post Office Box 18669, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55418. Or check us out on the web under ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Attention business owners and investors, if you or your company have plans to buy, sell, lease, or invest in commercial property, then you'll want to know about Bastion Commercial. Bastion Commercial's mission is to help clients use commercial real estate to achieve their business goals. From seller and buyer representation to leasing, industrial, office, retail investments, and 1031 exchanges. At Bastion Commercial, they'll take the time to understand your business, and you'll be able to take advantage of their considerable experience in the local market. As a business owner, you have employees to manage, product to deliver, and a business to run. So let Bastion Commercial outline your real estate options. Bastion Commercial is locally focused with national access. Commercial real estate is all about the numbers, but that doesn't mean you have to feel like one. Call Bastion Commercial today at 952-884-3915. 952-884-3915. If you have any questions in regards to commercial real estate, call the experts at Bastion Commercial. Call today, 952-884-3915, or visit online at bastioncommercial.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Buck for NatureBee. You know, I've been telling you about this wonderful product for the last couple of years and how healthy and happy it's going to make you. Well, how about this? Just in time for the holidays, a special deal from NatureBee. Normally, $99 gets you a six-month supply plus a delivery fee. We're going to toss in three more months for free. That's 9 months for the price of six. And all you've got to do is call toll-free to Clean Green New Zealand at 1-866-834-8355 or go online to NatureBee. That's NatureBee.com. Happy holidays.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Chirp, chirp, chirp. 6:30. You know what? If you'd go out and flip that monitor and then sneak quietly back in afterwards, after you make sure that's actually going on.
Check.
If it's going wrong, give me a thumbs down before you sneak back in. All right? So it should be okay, but, you know, on top of the fridge to the left of there, there's a switch. You can switch that to KYCR. Okay. And then when you hear the music and him talking, you know, come over and give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down and then sneak back on in.
Fine. We'll let him close it afterwards. It's not a big deal.
Let me turn on.
Part of it is if I can't even hear the music, though, you know, it's just.
I guess it's on. It's just the lights burnt out. I can't hear it, and that's disconcerting. Why am I not hearing?
Boy, if I turn this thing up all the way, I can hear something. Good afternoon, Minnesota, and welcome to Stock and Trade here on AM 1570 Twin Cities Business Radio. We are your weekly dose of financial sanity, your chance to make dollars and common sense out of the economy, the market, and everything in between. As always, I am your host, John Swan, financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management, joined by my constant partner in crime here, Brian Link. Brian, how are you doing this afternoon?
Well, it's a pretty good day here. Can't complain. It's cold, but what can you do in Minnesota?
Exactly. How was your Thanksgiving, Brian?
Oh, it was actually pretty good. You know, we did the usual turkey and all that, so you know, nothing too fancy or unique. I'm pretty predictable, I guess. How about you? What did you do for your Thanksgiving?
Not a lot. The day after, I did my apparently patriotic duty to go buy a bunch of things and join the hordes. I still am not completely online accessible with my Black Friday shopping. I guess I enjoy getting a ball and chain and just flinging it around and trying to hit other shoppers as I charge through Sears or Target or any other number.
The economy is counting on you to do that.
Well, that's right, because, you know, if we do this, if I don't shop on Black Friday, the recession wins. So, for those of you who are new to our show, if you haven't been able to tell already, we're a little different kind of financial advising show. We're not putting on our sandwich board saying the end is near, and frankly, you know, in this economy, sometimes you're going to want to laugh or cry, and, well, we would prefer to laugh. Now, as always, I don't want to just tell you what the economy is doing. I'd really like to hear what the economy is doing to you. And there are a number of ways that you can join that conversation. You can go to our website at www.stockandtrade.net. You can join us on Twitter, twitter.com/stocktraderadio. We're almost up to 1,000 tweets now in just a few months' time, so we're kind of proud of that. You can look us up on Facebook or bear with me here, you can call in at 651-289-4477. That number, again, to call in, 651-289-4477. Coming up in just a little bit, we have Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. She is an advisor to the National Small Business Development Center. Going to be talking a lot about small business trends here nationally and where the economy is going. So we are going to be looking at what the economy is doing to small businesses here in Minnesota and around the country. And what a major week. What a major week here for news. So many things going on. We had Dubai, Black Friday, as we were just talking about, unemployment figures coming out yesterday, and Ben Bernanke now also wondering if he is going to get a second term. But as we so often like to do here on Stock and Trade, we like to try to put this all into a theme. And really, if there is a theme for this last week, I think it's a desire for direction. Now, I mean, you have to look at this last week a bit like being on a roller coaster. Certainly, this economy has been like being on a roller coaster. But in the last week, it's when the roller coaster is beginning to come to an end. You haven't gotten off. You haven't gotten off, and you're a little woozy and still a little dizzy, but you know it's slowing down. You're hoping that this means you're finally reaching the end of this turbulent ride. And it's a bit of what we saw, especially last week and during the beginning, really, of this week with the Dubai debt crisis. Dubai, as many of you probably were paying attention to, late Friday, or really early on all day Friday, we had Dubai coming out and saying that they might have to default or do some restructuring of a number of their loans. That could be up to $88 billion in debt. That they may just have to try to wipe off the books and say, you know what, I'm sorry, we're just out of money here. So what people panicked, of course. The markets were down significantly on Friday. And what we had happen instead, fortunately because it was happening on a Friday, and on Fridays right after Thanksgiving, we're dealing with a shortened market time frame. We went from having these incredibly dire predictions to what might have been the shortest financial crisis in economic history. And this isn't to say that people who were predicting these horrible, dire consequences of Dubai were wrong. What could have happened? You could have had $88 billion in defaulted loans, and a lot of those loans were held by RBS, the Royal Bank of Scotland. Royal Bank of Scotland is owned by the UK government, and if those loans had gone under, RBS could have, if not gone under, then been significantly dented. The whole UK banking system could have gone under, the European banking system, and so on and so forth, and you can see where those dominoes would continue to fall. But instead, by Monday, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, had at least rhetorically bailed out Dubai, and Dubai said, you know what, we're only going to need to worry about $26 billion, and a lot of their creditors and lenders said, we can make this work. And by about midweek, by about even, Tuesday and Wednesday, you know what? It was a forgotten memory to a lot of investors on Wall Street and frankly, on markets around the world. Dubai, who cares? That's not a concern anymore. And I think what's important about that, it isn't that there aren't going to be other potential negative consequences from things like Dubai. But, last Friday, Dubai looked like so many of the crises that we have endured over the last 15 or 18 months. Another gigantic set of problems, huge losses, tremendous negative economic consequences, and something that nobody would have any control over. So we were at the whim of other forces. When I'm using that roller coaster metaphor, we're going up and we're going down and we're going to need the Dramamine, and we have no way to stop it and no way to get off the ride. And instead, it wasn't that big of a deal. Same issue happened this week with unemployment. Now, as early as about Wednesday, Thursday, unemployment looked like it was pretty much going to remain the same. Unemployment rate was going to be about 10.2%, and we were going to have lost another 120,000 jobs. Certainly nothing positive. At a minimum, you could say, well, everything was holding fairly steady. Instead, we only, and I hate to say only, because when people are losing jobs, no one's sitting around going, yay, I lost a job, but I'm only one of 11,000 people who lost it. But only 11,000 jobs lost, and the unemployment rate dropped to 10%. That's the first time. It's the first time it's dropped since July. That also comes on the heels of some revised job figures for September and October, which added 159,000 jobs. And this cumulative effect meant that the underemployment rate, or what many people deem as the quote-unquote, and I have to use the big air quotations here, the real employment unemployment rate, in terms of people who are out of work or, frankly, are underworked, they're wanting to do maybe a 40-hour-a-week job and they're only getting a 30-hour-a-week job, that rate fell to 17.2% from 17.5%. Now, I know you're saying, John, you really have a habit of getting really excited over decimal point percentages. You might want to calm down. And no, this isn't some grand news. A recovery is imminent. Let's quick get the champagne bottle. Let's have a party here. But you've got to put this into a little bit of a perspective. In October, we had 111,000 job losses. In November, we had 11,000. And with the fact that we have seen month after month now these revised figures, the odds are we're going to find out in probably another 30 days that, you know what? We probably added jobs for the first time in a long time in November, which would be fabulous news and would definitely suggest that at least from a technical standpoint, the recession is over. Does that mean that the market is going to just go up and up and up? Does it mean that jobs are just going to overflow? No. No, but, I mean, frankly, from a technical standpoint, the recession started in December of 2007. I mean, Brian, what were you doing in December of 2007? I mean, were you feeling, oh, my goodness, I mean, the economy's terrible in December of 2007.
No, I thought it was actually a good economy then. There was no signs of trouble that I could see.
Exactly, and from a technical standpoint, I have to keep using that word with the italicized, you know, technical standpoint. We were in a recession. It took another 6 or 8 months for us to get to the point where we were still debating. Well, is it a recession? Is it not? And what's amazing about this with the unemployment figures, just like with all these other great, you know, economic indicators, nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming, and for once, no one saw it coming in a positive way. It wasn't that, you know, no one saw Dubai coming. I mean, for goodness sake, anyone could have seen Dubai coming when you're building a ski slope in the middle of the desert, and you're doing it all on credit and loans. I mean, not to go backwards here on our topics, but Dubai was an economy built on credit cards. Other emerging markets like China and India are built on that pesky little thing called, you know, an economy or production. But nobody saw this coming. The very renowned outplacement firm Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, they have a survey that they do of businesses, and frankly, they were predicting fewer hires in November, which you would think would mean, okay, more job losses, things are not going to be going well. And instead, we had the service and the healthcare industry adding about 100,000 jobs, a little over 100,000 jobs last month. I think to temper that enthusiasm just a little bit, I've raised it now, let's temper it just a tad. Some of that in the service-related industries might be seasonal. I don't think you can make that argument with healthcare, that healthcare has a seasonal effect here. But with service, it may well be that you had just a lot more temporary workers. We're not really going to know that for probably a couple of months. And there was some other news that came out this week that shouldn't have us again, you know, keep that champagne chilled. The National Federation of Independent Businesses had a survey that came out of small business. And most small businesses right now, well, you know, they're going to look to reduce their employment over the next 3 months. Can that change? This is, you know, this is based purely on expectation, purely on what they're feeling, their gut feeling right now, what they're going to be doing in the beginning of 2010. Of course that can change because, again, you know, we quote all these surveys, all these experts, all these economists. They're not wrong inherently. They're not making up figures and numbers, but the reality is, and this is why I have a little more of a positive impact, at least for the short term, and I stress it, only the short term with the economy. At every moment that we have predicted the economy is going to be stagnant, the economy is going to get worse, it's outperformed expectations. Does it mean we don't have long-term issues we need to worry about? Things like commercial real estate? No, of course not. Absolutely not. There are still a lot of reasons to be concerned, like commercial real estate, like our, you know, increasing deficit and debt in this country. But over the short term, the market is outperforming expectations. And so because of all, now I preface all these remarks with saying the country, the economy, it's looking for direction because we're getting out of this crisis mode where we feel like we're prisoner to all these forces, all these things that we have real no control over, and we're on that roller coaster. We can't get off. We can't make it stop. So we're just riding it out, grabbing on. We're white-knuckled and hoping that this thing will finally end. And you saw a bit of that desire for a real direction this week from people who are not great at direction or giving it or providing it in Congress with the testimony of Ben Bernanke, who is up for another term as the chair of the Fed. And he was being grilled for all these decisions. And I'm going to say this. I am not as tough on Ben Bernanke as some for the sole reason of it's kind of like judging your performance by saying, you know, you were given the helm of the Titanic after it hit the iceberg. Well, it went down faster because of it. Well, it was sinking anyway. We're really not going to know. My concerns with Ben Bernanke, and we saw it on his testimony on the Hill this week, is he's kind of closing his eyes to a number of problems here in terms of where bubbles are forming, and he's not allowing interest rates to rise up here in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we had talked about this a few weeks ago on the show. By the end of 2010, we're going to have the lowest borrowing rate in the world. Japan technically will have a higher rate, but with the value of the dollar and everything else, we will really have the lowest borrowing rate in the world. So, you know, the dollar, I am reminded of the old adage by Ronald Reagan. Do you remember the days when we thought nothing could replace the dollar? Well, it has. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And I think we're going to be talking about that and other things when we come back with Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. And, of course, your calls at 651-289-447, 651-289-447, to join us here on Stock and Trade on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio. John Swan here from Stock and Trade. You know, finding someone to help you invest is important, but it takes much more to actually reach your financial objectives. At RBC Wealth Management, we take the time to understand your goals and answer all your questions before personalizing an investment plan. When you invest with RBC Wealth Management, you can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from trusting your investments to professionals who are dedicated to your financial goals. If you're ready to start, call me today at 612-371-7690. RBC is a division of RBC Capital Markets Corporation, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Giving your computer problems a boot. Arby's Computer Service.
When you want your computer fixed right the first time, Arby's is the place.
Hi, this is Randy Barney. Do we service your computer equipment? If not, why not? Let me give you a special reason to try RB's Computer Service. From now until December 21st, if we service your computer or server, we'll enter your name into a drawing to win a free $300 Acer netbook and carrying case. No purchase necessary. For alternate entry, visit our website, rbsmn.com. Purchase does not increase your chances of winning. This is a limited time offer, now through December 21st. So call me now at 763-441-3884 or visit us online at rbsmn.com. rbsmn.com. And Merry Christmas!
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-618-1059. Since 1995, we've helped over a million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call 1-800-618-1059. That's 1-800-618-1059. 1-800-618-1059.
Hi, everyone. This is John Swan of Stock and Trade, and I want to talk to you about the amazing work of Huntington Learning Center. We're just past MEA weekend, and are you noticing that your child's grades are slipping, that they're frustrated by school and feel like they can't learn? Huntington Learning Center's one-on-one attention from their caring, certified teachers can change that. How do I know? Because Huntington helped me. Make the same call my parents did at 1-800-CAN-LEARN and change your child's life today. Your child can learn, and Huntington knows how. And welcome back to Stock and Trade here on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio. We are joined today by, well, actually quite a prestigious guest when you get right down to it, Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. You may not be familiar with the name, but, well, you will be after this show. She has quite the resume. She was recently named to the National Small Business Development Center's Advisory Board. You've been in business now for, what, 20 years, is that
actually
correct?
Actually, I've had my business for over 22 years
now.
Oh,
geez, okay. Yeah. And I just recently you were able to put out a press release that the value of your impact has been, you put all the numbers together, and it was over $2 billion in economic and business impact from your consulting services. So that is quite impressive. You have worked with firms and people from, well, really around the world for the last 22 years. Jill Johnson, welcome to Stock and Trade.
Thank you. Glad to be here. It's I'm looking forward to having our conversation today.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people listening who haven't necessarily always hired a consultant, and there are so many different kinds of consultants that are out there, are probably a little curious exactly how do you define what you do with Johnson Consulting Services for individuals or businesses?
Well, I think the key thing that I try and explain to people is that I work the things that work the revenue line of your financial statements. So that would be looking at things that impact your sales strategy, things that impact your market and your market potential. It's also looking at the business approaches that you're using internally to try and determine whether or not they really make sense given where the market and the market trends and the market forces are moving things toward. I come out of a CPA firm environment as an MBA. So, yeah, it's one of those kinds of things where you really learn the business of business.
Absolutely. Well, we were just talking a little bit off air before we were going on, and certainly you've had a number of clients who probably need to learn a little bit better that business of business before perhaps they meet with you here. But I am curious, and I think my audience might be a little curious, how exactly you got into doing consulting for business.
Well, the short story is I'm actually a fourth generation entrepreneur now. And
really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, my great grandfather from Sweden had a business as well, as my father and grandfather, and then myself, and now my brother too. But I had met a consultant when I was in Chicago. I had a business meeting when I was 17, and I walked out of that meeting going, "That's what I'm going to be." And I always knew I wanted to be self-employed because that was the world I had come from, and then just looked at what I needed education-wise, experience-wise, and went into a business that I knew how to do because I learned on somebody else's nickel.
Absolutely. Well, as we were just saying, as I introduced you, you were just recently named to the, I'm sorry, the National, remind me here again.
The National Small Business Development Center Advisory Board. It's a federal board, and it is, I actually am just starting in my second year on that federal board. It's my second federal board dealing with small business issues. I've also served before on the Small Business Advisory Board for the SBA, the National Advisory Board, and you know, dealing with issues that have impacted small business around the country for over two decades, and it's seeing that, you know, the fundamentals never go out of style, and people often forget to learn the fundamentals because they want the easy, quick win.
Absolutely. Well, let's cut to the major question here, especially given your background. What are you seeing? What is your view right now on the climate for small business at a national level?
I think it varies state by state. I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time this year in Michigan, and
my condolences.
Well, you know, Michigan is kind of, it's almost split into two pieces. You've got the eastern side in Detroit, which was so auto-focused and dependent.
And has been decimated.
It's
really,
totally
yeah.
decimated. And there, you know, certainly cultural and educational aspects regarding that. And then you look at the western side of the state, Grand Rapids in that area, again, devastated by the closing of major pharmaceutical firms and other organizations. But the entrepreneurial activity on the western side of the state is phenomenal, and part of that is due to the Economic Recovery Act. Some of it's due to the activities of people within the Small Business Development Center arena, the education institutions, and more importantly, the communities themselves that are trying to reinvent what they have become. And so there's a lot of incubator things happening, a lot of education and programming to help people make the transition.
Well, I'm curious then, and obviously you're right, we have to take this on a state-by-state basis, but for states that are in a Michigan-like position, and I think off the top of my head, states like California and New York and Illinois, and frankly, I mean, Minnesota isn't in quite in that conversation, but we're certainly not where we need to be. Where you're talking about the growth and the entrepreneurism that is still, you know, vibrant here and still happening. In what fields are you seeing that occurring?
Well, I'm saying that there's a vibrancy in terms of the reinvention of that.
Okay.
And I think that's a very important distinction to make.
Okay.
But, you know, part of it is we need to have this public-private partnership that says that looks at what innovation and resources and ideas are the entrepreneurs looking to bring to the table, but then how is government working for or against that. And so, you know, states that are nimble and are trying to look at focusing resources on economic development that are looking to have real impact, short-term, long-term, are having more success than states that are, you know, looking at, well, we're just going to, you know, do a lot of taxing and, you know, we're going to redeploy those resources away from the small business people to other areas. And so that becomes the nature of the beast. You look at a state like North Dakota, I mean, their unemployment rate is far below the national average, and it's in part because they're looking at leaving resources in that small business arena for innovation and development and expansion.
Well, certainly we're talking with Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. And Jill, we want to keep as much of our focus nationally, but for our listeners here in Minnesota especially, I really do have to think, since we bring up North Dakota, how is Minnesota faring right now?
Well, I think that people are starting to look at what is North Dakota doing a little differently. But I also know there are a lot of really good people that are working within the small business and the business arena in our state that are trying to ensure that we have access to technology transfer, that we have access to the resources and the information that entrepreneurs and prospective entrepreneurs need and want. And it's making sure that they're in the right places at the right time, because entrepreneurship isn't for everyone.
No.
And being a small business owner is much harder than most people realize. You don't have a boss telling you what to do every day or how to do it. And so, you know, being able to learn that component of self-reliance and self-discipline. But I think that it's looking at resources through jobs and training and some of the mm-hmm. re-education programs. There's a lot of places that people can go for services and access. It's
Absolutely.
Just a matter of finding it.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you, Jill Johnson. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the entrepreneurship arena here, how people are trying to create jobs in small businesses again. And we'd like to take your calls as well, 651-289-4477, to join us here on Stock and Trade on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio. John Swan here from Stock and Trade. You know, finding someone to help you invest is important, but it takes much more to actually reach your financial objectives. At RBC Wealth Management, we take the time to understand your goals and answer all your questions before personalizing an investment plan. When you invest with RBC Wealth Management, you can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from trusting your investments to professionals who are dedicated to your financial goals. If you're ready to start, call me today at 612-371-7690. RBC is a division of RBC Capital Markets Corporation, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
With the warm weather slipping away faster than private health care, it's a good time to take a look at the furnace that's going to take you through the winter. Now, before you consider any costly repairs or even replacement, give Jason a call at Mossman Geothermal. A geothermal system is much more efficient than a conventional furnace and air conditioner, at times as much as 80%. It's easily retrofitted into your existing home or installed in your new construction project. Benefits of the system also include reduced humidity and, at times, free hot water for your home. Winter's coming soon, and Jason wants to get his projects underway before the snow really flies. If you're in the market for a new furnace or air conditioner, give a fellow Patriot listener a chance to show you how his system can really save you money while greatly reducing your carbon footprint, whatever that is. Call today, 763-416-5066, to get a quote for your home and find out more about the federal tax credits available. Mossman Geothermal, 763-416-5066, your local geocomfort dealer.
Introducing Lee Strobel, author of The Case for Christ.
I'm a skeptic by nature. When my daughter Allison said she was going on eHarmony.com to find the love of her life, I did what any good journalist does. I doubted, but I also started digging, and I found that eHarmony is more than a dating site. It's a relationship site founded on 35 years of research into what makes marriages work. Allison ended up meeting her husband, Dan, the love of her life, and they are two of the most compatible people I've ever known. eHarmony matched them based on who they are on the inside, their faith, values, the way they view the world. A perfect fit. Now I've been blessed with two wonderful grandkids. And it doesn't stop there. An average of 236 people a day get married after meeting on eHarmony. So if you're single, I highly recommend eHarmony.
Take the first step toward changing your life. Visit eHarmony.com to review your compatible matches absolutely free. Don't put it off another minute. Try eHarmony.com today.
Hi, everyone. This is John Swan of Stock and Trade, and I want to talk to you about the amazing work of Huntington Learning Center. We're just past MEA weekend, and are you noticing that your child's grades are slipping, that they're frustrated by school and feel like they can't learn? Huntington Learning Center's one-on-one attention from their caring, certified teachers can change that. How do I know? Because Huntington helped me. Make the same call my parents did at 1-800-CAN-LEARN and change your child's life today. Your child can learn, and Huntington knows how. And welcome back to Stock and Trade here on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio. We are joined, our guest today is Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. And Jill, when we left in the previous segment, we were talking a little bit about a number of people becoming entrepreneurs, and I come from a family that is very strong in its entrepreneurship. I think, however, there are a lot of people who have not really learned the responsibility of what it's going to take to start your own business. And there was a wonderful article that just in Business Week, not wonderful for the effects it was talking about, but the number of new startup businesses that were unable to qualify for small business loans or any kind of personal loan to begin their business and were going off of credit cards. And, of course, the rates that get charged, often these are people who are, if they're not underwater, they're darn near close. I don't want you to be doing your job for free here on the air by any means, but what advice would you be giving these people who really want to be starting a new business and have absolutely no experience in running their own company?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, it comes back to the fundamentals of business.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need a business plan. You need to look at the market variables. You need to understand who your competitors are. It drives me crazy when I hear people say, oh, I don't have any competition, because what that tells me is that you don't know your market.
Wow, you found that one job that, you know.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, there may not be a business exactly like yours, but there are competitive alternatives for how your customers are getting their business needs met or that need resolved. And you need to understand what those things are. And so what I look at when someone is calling me out of the blue, and I can usually tell if they're ready to work mm-hmm. with someone like me or if I need to refer them to another source.
Right.
And it really depends on that level of sophisticated insight about what's involved. You know, for your listeners that are looking at starting a small business, looking at those community resources, whether it's taking a community education program to learn to write your business plan or what's even involved in a business plan, mm-hmm. buying some business planning software, using the Business Planning Center, which is over off of 280 and University, which is a free resource, or working with groups and organizations like the Service Corps of Retired Executives. I'm sure many people have heard about SCORE,
mm-hmm.
Or even the Small Business Development Centers, although they tend to work with businesses that are a little further along in their development. But what I find is that you really need to have people challenge your idea.
Exactly.
And I had coffee with a woman the other day who's has had very sophisticated business experience, and she had been looking at a business when I met her 4 years ago. And I told her that when I first met her, she wasn't ready. She didn't mm-hmm. know the industry. She had no credentials. She didn't know what she was looking at. She hadn't thought it through. So she got a job in a related area and worked for 4 years on building her connections, building her relationships, mm-hmm. Toying around with her plan, working her idea. And when we met for coffee the other day, I told her, not only are you ready, but if the bank won't finance it, I know you've set aside enough money to self-finance it and do it on your own if you really believe in it. And she had. So it's all about that advanced preparation that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people who are thinking now but aren't quite ready or just are so overwhelmed with the risk, don't just run to the credit card.
No.
Do the homework
please,
first. I mean,
unless you want to be paying 22, 30, 35%, you know, interest on what you're borrowing, if you'd like to do that, well, heck, I can give you a better rate. I mean,
exactly.
Just give me your money.
Well,
my goodness.
I think the other thing I would like to let people know, too, I mean, you know, it's not unusual for businesses to start with credit cards. I had savings in the bank, but I had been saving before I started my business. I had been saving for 2 years prior, but I also did use my credit cards, and
exactly.
I still do. But the credit card companies hate people like me because I use their float for the entire month, and I pay my credit card bill off at the end of the month. And so I have basically had free money
mm-hmm.
and no risk. And so you have to manage that kind of a credit line extremely carefully.
Well, and I think you used the key word there with credit. Part of the reason I think you are seeing so many people trying to start their own business is based on a fallacy that's going out there, which is credit is abundant because of the stimulus. There's just money falling from the skies. All you need to do is run out there and, like a snowflake, catch it on your tongue. Credit is incredibly hard at this point. I know Ben Bernanke was up on the Hill, and he was crediting, you know, 480,000 SBA loans and all these millions upon millions of dollars that we're giving out there. And I had to kind of look at that testimony and say, who are these people? Are these in the same made-up, you know, congressional districts that we were getting with some of the stimulus things? Because the money isn't out there. And I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about that credit climate for small business. I mean, it's frigid to be from what I've seen. I don't know if you've seen anything different, Jill Johnson.
Well, it is. And I think, again, you have to remember that banks are in the business of making money off of loaning money. And most people forget that that also means that they have to expect that you're going to actually be a credit risk that's going to pay the money back. And people are assuming with the stimulus and all the rest of it that there's just free money available for this big gift. That's not the case. You still have to have credit worthiness. You still have to have a business plan that makes sense. You know, bankers will always tell you that they'll take your revenues and divide it by two, and they'll take your expenses and double them because they don't believe what most people bring in for their business plan and their pro formas. And the other thing is to look at community banks. A lot of people, Minnesota has one of the top SBA loan offices in SBA offices in the country in terms of loan volume. And there was a small loan program, a $35,000 loan program called the ARC. Forget what it stands for, American Recovery.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar, but I'm
but the $35,000 loan, I mean, but people were just assuming that all they had to do was just put in a request for it and they would get the money. Again, just as in any other loan situation, you still had to do the business plan. You had to be creditworthy, and you had to have been. Your business has to be a viable business that's been in existence and can show that you were profitable in two of the last 3 years. But most of those ARC loans that are coming through the community banks, not the large commercial banks. And what I'm hearing from people that I deal with in other parts of the country is that states that are dominated by the very, very large mega banks, if you will, are struggling significantly in terms of some of those credit resources available and loan availability. But a state like Minnesota, there may be a little bit more play, but you're going to be looking at a community banker and exactly. Move your money to the banker. I mean, for Pete's sake, they want to make money off of you.
Well, and that is such a fundamental mistake, which is if you're trying to get a loan situation from a bank that you have no history with, come on. I mean, they're not going to want to approve that. We are talking with Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services, and we'd like to talk to you as well, whether you have a question on your own small business or not. You can feel free to call us in here at 651-289-4477, it sounded like we were going to go to a commercial break there for a second. I think we still have some time here left. I mean, I feel like this is the Oscars. I'm being played off the stage just a little bit. That's my problem, my miscommunication with my wingman here, Brian Link. But, Jill, going from firms that you know are just starting up to firms that are currently in existence, we're seeing a trend right now of small, medium-sized companies that are returning to a level of profitability, but they're not hiring. And there was an article out there, I'm trying to remember the source here, on titled, funnily enough, Why Small Businesses Won't Be Hiring. And it's blaming things like a lack of funding, lack of credit, as we were just talking about, a general lack of industrial demand, and also way too many temp workers out there that are just creating a glut. You know, traditionally, when small businesses begin hiring, it really is the signal of an economic recovery. And I am wondering, in your thoughts, at what point are we going to be able to see small businesses begin to hire again? Or is this a trend that we're going to see companies with higher profits just not reinvest that in terms of adding staff?
Well, I think people are still really afraid, John. There is a palpable fear when I talk with entrepreneurs. I mean, you have to understand, when a small business owner makes a hiring decision, they're letting you, let's say I'm going to hire you. I'm letting you into my family, if you will. And it is very, very painful for most entrepreneurs to let people go. In fact, most of them will hold on to an employee far beyond any kind of reasonable normative experience. And when they've had to go through and lay off people and let their family members go, if you will. It is the scars that that leaves. People are very, very hesitant about getting in too far over their head. And when you look at all the things, as we were talking in our pre-interview, the things that the government are doing right now in terms of creating all this level of uncertainty is adding to the distress that most of the small business people that I know are feeling, because they can't plan. They don't have enough certainty mm-hmm. in how they're viewing what's going to be happening, whether it be healthcare, whether it be regulation, whether it be government involvement in their industry, or in with the valued partners that they have. The only thing that people can really count on are things like, you know, demographic trends and shifts and those kinds of things. And so the lack of stability in some of this external environment is causing people to really hesitate. They can control what they have. They can control what they bring in. But anything beyond that, they have no control over. So people are hunkered down for the long haul. They want to be in business in 5 years.
Exactly.
And so that's why there's a hesitancy.
Well, when we come back here, we are going to talk a little bit about one of those issues that I think is causing a lot of concern and unease, something that you have some experience with, the healthcare debate that we have going on in this country right now. We'd also like to hear from you, and you can call in at 651-289-4477 to join us and guest Joel Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. You can be part of the show here on Stock and Trade on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio.
KYCR, Golden Valley, a service of Salem Communications.
John Swan here from Stock and Trade. You know, finding someone to help you invest is important, but it takes much more to actually reach your financial objectives. At RBC Wealth Management, we take the time to understand your goals and answer all your questions before personalizing an investment plan. When you invest with RBC Wealth Management, you can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from trusting your investments to professionals who are dedicated to your financial goals. If you're ready to start, call me today at 612-371-7690. RBC is a division of RBC Capital Markets Corporation, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Are you in need of a new windshield and confused about who to call for the best service? We'll call Advantage Auto Glass at 952-423-6396, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Hi, John Wichko, owner of Advantage Auto Glass. I've been talking to you about the reasons you should choose Advantage for your auto glass needs. One of those reasons is that we're a preferred shop for most insurance companies. What it means to be a preferred shop is that the insurance companies make sure that we meet the standards they promise their customers. It also means that our installers have been certified on auto glass replacement and OEM adhesive applications. This allows us the opportunity to work with your insurance company on total quality, lifetime warranties, and overall convenience for our customers. It also means we've taken the time to work out pricing agreements so that we're not overcharging and we can handle all the billing for you. All you do is call Advantage and we'll take care of everything.
So if you need auto glass replacement, call the station's original auto glass sponsor, Advantage Auto Glass, at 952-423-6396. That's 952-423-6396. Advantage Auto Glass.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. The November election results prove that America is ready to hear straight talk about the issues that matter. Glenn Beck's terrific new book, Arguing with Idiots, is just that. It debunks liberal myths about everything from illegal immigration to health care. And you can get Glenn Beck's book free with a subscription to Town Hall Magazine. The Town Hall Magazine is loaded with must-read stories about the conservative renaissance in America every single month. It makes a great gift. For Glenn Beck's book free with your subscription, log in to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Strengthen your immune system with the power of plant pollen from New Zealand's Nature Bee. Just 2 golden Nature Bee capsules a day provide all the vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants you need. A big 6-month supply is only $99 plus delivery. We toss in 3 more months for free, a great deal with a money-back guarantee. Order toll-free, 1-866-834-8355. That's 1-866-834-8355 or online at naturebee.com.
Hi, everyone. This is John Swan of Stock and Trade, and I want to talk to you about the amazing work of Huntington Learning Center. We're just past MEA weekend, and are you noticing that your child's grades are slipping, that they're frustrated by school and feel like they can't learn? Huntington Learning Center's one-on-one attention from their caring, certified teachers can change that. How do I know? Because Huntington helped me. Make the same call my parents did at 1-800-CAN-LEARN and change your child's life today. Your child can learn, and Huntington knows how. And we are back here on Stock and Trade on AM 1570 Twin Cities Business Radio. We are talking with Jill Johnson of Johnson Consulting Services. We'd also like to talk to you. You can call in at 651-289-4477, 651-289-4477, to ask a question of Jill or myself, or, well, heck, you can even ask a question of Brian Link if you want, and it can be on any subject you want. Actually, you know, we were just talking off air, and Jill certainly hit a nerve for one of the people in the room here. Brian, you owned a business in the past, and something Jill said really hit home for you.
Well, okay. You know, I had a small restaurant, and, you know, I had actually tried it twice, and, you know, I spent so much money in investing, and the biggest thing that got me is going in, I had no real idea of what the cost would be.
Yep.
And when you had said about how the banks will take whatever your numbers are, double your expenses and cut in half your revenue. If I would have done that, maybe I would still be in business today, because the costs just completely caught me off guard.
Yep.
For how much some of these things I would have never thought of just came up out of the blue.
Well, and that's, you know, I always tell people, do not go into a business that you haven't worked in. And, you know, you want to have as much exposure to all of those different components as you can. I mean, when I said earlier, you know, I learned my trade on someone else's nickel, I lived what I preach to people. And that really means going in and working for somebody else. You can decide, do I really like this? Do I like the lifestyle of the entrepreneur? Do I understand all of the components and all of the risks involved? And, you know, you can't manage everything, but the more that you can think through, the better able you're going to be able to withstand that. And I think that's part of the problem that people have had, that, you know, there's some really good people who've gone out of business because they didn't understand the business cycles. And, you know, this is the fourth business recession that I've been through. You know, and I started my business right around a recession. And, you know, you learn that you may have some really good years now, and you have to set that money aside because there's going to be some bad years. And if you spend it all or live beyond your means, you're not going to be able to withstand that next downturn.
I started my first business amid the dot-com implosion, and so I know exactly. We fellow travelers here, when we were in the previous segment, Jill, we were talking a lot about just the fear that is permeating the market and attitudes right now in the business community. And one of those areas that's causing a lot of concern is the healthcare debate. What will the eventual impact of that be? And you actually have a very good expertise on this, being named just very recently here as a fellow to the Minnesota Health Strategy and Communications Network. How much unease, and what kind of unease are you sensing, especially with the business community here, about this entire healthcare debate that we're having?
Well, I think there's two sides to this. The business community really doesn't know what is going to happen. I mean, a good business person is just going to hope they pull the public option. They can offload all those costs to you as a taxpayer, and
right,
and they can focus their business resources on things that will generate return and money for them.
Mm-hmm.
The providers on the other side are equally as confused, though, because all of the every government intervention in healthcare, and healthcare is the second most regulated industry in the nation behind nuclear regulatory. And it's already,
I didn't know that.
It's already highly regulated in everything from how services are provided and what services, and you have federal and you have state regulation, et cetera. And the problem is that when you're looking at trying to have a cookie-cutter approach to a single thing that runs across the gamut, markets are different. What I think many Minnesotans don't understand is what a robust healthcare system we have in this state.
Mm-hmm.
And what, I forget what the current numbers of uninsured are, but we're among the lowest uninsured in the nation. And we have amongst the largest designated benefit opportunities that are mandated through the insurances that are provided. But even beyond that, I think when you look at a bill like the healthcare bill, there's so much that's not included in it, or at least I have to own that I haven't been able to set aside the time to read either of the very lengthy versions of the bill. But what I'm
you
not,
and most people.
But what I'm not, most people in Congress.
Yes, well, I wasn't going to go there, but that's really what I
will.
I wanted to say.
But the thing is what we're not hearing about is we're hearing a lot about mandated benefits and, you know, rationing and those kinds of things. But the reality is that when you look at, I do a lot of work in issues in businesses that deal with senior services. Most of those are still private pay, whether it's senior living, assisted living, skilled nursing. And until you you have spent down all your assets and you're on Medicaid, it's a private pay situation.
Exactly.
And so people are just assuming that that money will be there to take care of them so they don't have to be financially responsible.
And a big part of what I do with my practice has been talking about long-term health care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
This is personal. It's personal for me. I've
right.
been through a family that experienced what happens when you don't have things
mm-hmm.
like long-term health care.
As have I.
And I think, you know, really what the conversation has been with health care for the individual here, you know, they come to me and they say, John, I've lost, you know, fill-in-the-blank percentage of my mm-hmm. net worth over the last 12, 18 months. Now what happens when I get sick? And I think what has happened, whereas maybe 6 or 8 months ago, people were saying, boom, sign me up for some long-term health care, even if it's a minor package, because I want to defer some of these costs that I'm going to be incurring in my later years, to even though long-term care isn't necessarily something that they're discussing, the individual, as is the business, they're freezing. They're not doing anything, and they're allowing these problems to fester. They're, you know, in some cases for the individual, they're allowing themselves to get a year older and not lock in a premium. And we're just seeing a complete freeze here as everyone is awaiting Washington to do something. And I think inaction is almost always the worst thing that you can do, whether you're talking about your finances or personally or for your business.
Well, and I think the other panacea is that people just assume that we're going to massively change consumer behavior and that consumers are now going to be totally responsible for their own health care and prevention, and we're going to stop eating at McDonald's and you know, or at least we won't supersize what we eat, and we're going to be in that
position. How do you know what I had for lunch?
Yeah, somebody bought my breakfast the other day and said pass it on. But the thing is that, you know, I've been working with healthcare providers, and again, Minnesota is just a phenomenal state. We've got not only fabulous providers in terms of the quality of care, but in the thought and the thinking that we've had in Minnesota. And we've been dealing with these issues since the early 1990s on insuredness and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking in the state about trying to change behavior to preventative measures. And in a state like Minnesota that's as sophisticated as we are, that has put in as much time and energy, we're still not seeing the mass consumer changes that everyone in Washington is just presuming we're going to magically be able to create.
Jill, how would people get in touch with you if they would like to use your services?
Well, I'm very selective about who I work with, and what I would just encourage people is if they're not sure, they should just give me a call. My office number is 763-571-3101. Again, that's 763-571-3101, or they can reach me via access. I'm contacting me through my website, mm-hmm. which is www.jcsandcatssandsam-usa.com. And again, it's jcs-usa.com.
We have a caller on the line, Colin.
We have
from
a caller.
Colin from Plymouth. Welcome to Stock and Trade. Hello, Colin from Plymouth.
Hello. I just want to ask a quick question. Talked a lot about how this is going to impact small businesses, but mm-hmm. I work for a rather larger corporation, but I've noticed in, you know, the last couple of years they haven't changed their health plans very much, but all of a sudden they started dropping choices, and, you know, they're putting a lot more on the employees. Do you think that has anything to do with the current healthcare debate, and do you see any trend coming out of that?
Jill, are you seeing any trends coming out of that with larger businesses here?
Well, they're trying to survive, too. I mean, you know, their executives are afraid, and they're trying to make sure that their long-term viability is in order. I mean, you know, the reality is those healthcare premiums are increasing, and they're increasing at an uncontrollable and unsustainable rate. And so I'm not surprised that the caller is having that experience. My husband works for a corporation and has worked for a variety of larger entities, and it's just part of the cycle. And so, you know, you as a consumer need to figure out that what we see and what we hear from providers is that when the consumer has skin in the game, that's when you actually see
exactly.
shifts and change in behavior. When the consumer is part of the payment, when it's not just being paid for by someone else, when you're starting to pay for it, you're going to start looking at the things you can't control too. And so, because you want to keep those out-of-pocket costs as low as possible.
Well, Jill Johnson from Johnson Consulting Services, thank you very much. Colin from Plymouth, thank you very much for calling in today. We really appreciate everything. If you have any questions during the week, please feel free to give me a call at 612-371-7690. Otherwise, stay tuned. Otherwise, join us next week and have a good financial week here from Stock and Trade on AM 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio.
Jim, at Brothers Office Furniture, we keep over 500 pre-owned workstation cubicles in stock at any given time, with many styles to choose from.
Wow. Ernie, tell people about our other quality pre-owned inventory at brothersofficefurniture.com.
You mean the desk sets, tables, chairs, the filing options, and all the other things?
Yes, and we have the largest office furniture showroom in Minnesota.
So companies can find great value in shopping new and used options for their furniture project. If you're planning on buying office furniture, now's the time to buy before the end of the year, because manufacturers must hold their prices printed in our catalog.
Go to brothersofficefurniture.com.
And don't forget our recycling and buyback program.
Just remember, go to brothersofficefurniture.com for the best deal in town. Go to brothersofficefurniture.com and visit our showroom at 694 and Boone Avenue, or call us at 763-537-7004.